Matthew chapter 6. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us, Father. Just the help and strength that you give each one of us. Yes. Allowing us to be here tonight, Father. And we'll certainly pray for those that aren't able to make it tonight, that you would encourage them, Father, that you'd comfort them, deal with them if that's what their need is. And we'll pray for our missionaries tonight. And we just thank you for all the safety you give Brother Wall and,
yes,
on his flight over there and helping him to get things done. And I just ask, Father, that as he flies out tomorrow, that you'd protect him.
Yes.
You'd bless the flight, give him wisdom. Mm-hmm. We think of the situation there with the needles, that Father, you would help that situation get resolved so the anger could get built. Just ask that you'd be a brother. Need him and give him wisdom at this time.
Yes.
Father, we, as we gather around your word here tonight, and the pastor preaches your word, I just pray that our hearts are ready to receive it, Father, and that we may be drawn closer to you as a result. And thank you in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6:9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, last week we began to look at this, how Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. And first of all, we saw last week we must personally know God as our Father. So not everyone is born as God, with God being their Father. Not anyone is born with God as their Father. Adam and Eve were created that way. But we looked at many verses last week, but let's just look at a few here. Romans chapter 5, Romans 5:12. When Adam and Eve sinned, then they died spiritually. And you know, when a mama is on drugs and expecting a baby, guess what? The baby is born addicted to the same drug. And our parents, Adam and Eve, fell into sin, and every baby born since has been born in sin. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death, what?
Passed
upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that sin nature passed down to every one of us. When I was little, and when you were little, no one had to teach us how to lie, how to get mad and cry. No one had to teach us those things. It was in our nature, our sin nature. Notice in Ephesians 2:1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened," and the word quickened means made alive, "who were what?
Dead
in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's how we were born, as children of disobedience, "among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were what? By nature," and get this phrase here, "were by nature what?
Children of wrath."
The children of wrath, not the children of God. We were not by nature the children of God. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as who?
Others.
We're all in that boat, every one of us. I looked back at my kindergarten report card and saw the notes that my teacher left. I was a little rascal, I guess, in kindergarten. It was bad. And I guess she passed me, hopefully not just to get rid of me. I hear teachers do that sometimes, but my. No one had to teach me how to be that way, I guess. So So we must come to the point where we personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ and receive God as our Father, our Heavenly Father. Well, we're at number two tonight. We must fear or revere God. We must fear or revere God. Once again in Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, that's not a word used a lot anymore. I suppose the closest to it is Halloween, and that's the furthest from the meaning of the word. The word means reverenced and treated as sacred. So hallowed be thy name. There are so many opposites from Halloween to Christmas. And Halloween, the evil, witches and ghosts and creepy things like spiders and spider webs all year long. Ladies and sometimes guys help, you know, fetch a spider web, you know, that's floating off the ceiling or in the corner up high. If you see a spider, you kill it. At least in our house, we do. I don't think that's against the law yet, is it? Kill spiders? In Germany, we kind of laugh about that, but in Germany, we had a missionary over there, and it was against the law in Germany at that point to kill ants. In the garden, you couldn't kill ants in your garden. I never heard of anything. Well, yeah, I guess I probably have heard of worse things, but that is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But that is a people who are worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator. That's what that is. It was crazy. But all year long, we try to get rid of things like that. You know, who wants to live in a cemetery? But in Halloween, they put tombstones right in their yard. Who wants a skeleton in your yard? But at Halloween, they put them in their yards. Halloween is a time of darkness. Halloween is a time of rudeness. Going to a house and demanding either a treat or a trick. Selfish. You know, I mean, we teach our children not to ask for candy, don't we? But on Halloween, they're sent out asking for candy at everybody's house or store or whatever it is. But at Christmas time, it's the opposite. It's a time of giving, not demanding from others. It's a time of giving. God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. And so God set the example. The birth of Christ is a time for giving. People have a giving heart. Even stingy people have a giving heart, hopefully, at Christmas. At least they buy presents. Maybe it's because they're expected to. I don't know. Well, hopefully they have it in their heart to buy something nice for someone. It's the opposite in Halloween. Christmas time is a time for angels. Little children dress up as angels in programs. And Halloween, they decorate with witches and evil things. Christmas, it's angels. Christmas, it's lights. Halloween is darkness. So the time the word is used is really contrary to how it's supposed to be used. Hallowed be thy name, God's name reverenced. And that's the opposite of what happens most of the time today. Notice in Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. And verse 5. Isaiah 52, 5. The Bible says, "Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord." And what? My name continually, every day is what? Blasphemed. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you heard God's name used as in cursing this, maybe today, maybe this week? But out in the world, that's probably the only way you'll hear it most of the time. It's a challenge for us then, isn't it? To get forth his name in a good way. We were scheduling our car. It got backed into. And so getting it scheduled to fix. And so I was talking to the body shop and talking to an auto mechanic. And so set up a time. And the lady set the time, and I said, as far as being there, I said, Lord willing. And she stopped a moment, and she said, of course. Okay, but most of the time, you will not hear God's name used in a good sense, in a hallowed sense. So it's rare to hear God's name used reverently. Most of the time, many people hear God's name, it'll be when someone's angry, or there are a multitude of people that seemingly can't hardly say a sentence without blaspheming God's name. But, you know, God doesn't want to judge man. Notice in John chapter 3, God does not want to judge man. He wants to save man. So you know what? How do most lost people think of God? John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. When I think of pit bull, and it was before this incident with my son-in-law, but when I think of pit bull, I think of danger. I think of an out-of-control dog. This man admitted that he trains his dogs to be, I don't know if you'd say vicious, but anyway, not like people coming on his property. When my grandparents were alive on my mom's side, they had some property in Florida, so they spent the winters down there, and one of his neighbors had a pit bull, and that guy was kind of like that too. My grandfather said this guy would bend down the branches of trees and then sick his dog on the branch and chew through the branch. And I don't know, it seems like when people like that train their dogs that way, and it seems like then when their dog hurts people, it made me think of Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, although I could think of throwing people like that in the pit bull den and see what it feels like, the way they've trained their dogs to be so vicious after people. There has to come some liability somewhere there. But you know, people hear God's name so much in a vicious sense. So in my mind, I'm thinking pit bull, I'm thinking a strong jaw and biting. And you know what? I wonder if some people in the world think of God's name as like pit bull, as like judgment. You know, like these Christians say, if I don't get right with God, he's going to send me to hell. And, you know, do lost people really understand that God loves them, that he doesn't want to send them to hell? Or because God's name is only used in a vicious sense, you know, someone gets mad, you know, because at you, and so it's, you know, you do something against them, and so it's, you know, blankety blank, they're using God's name against you. And do some people really think of God only in that sense, that he's vicious? I know I've read about Muslims. They do not believe that their false god Allah is a god of love. But to them, he, their false god is vicious. He's cruel. They don't recognize any love in him at all. Notice in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke 19:10. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to seek and to judge that which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But I wonder, the way God's name is used, it's constantly in an angry sense. Constantly in an angry sense. And I just wonder if that's how then people associate God. In an angry sense. It's true that God will and that Jesus will be the judge of man. Notice in John 5, one day he will judge the unsaved people, but he doesn't want to be their judge. He wants to be their savior. John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed what? All judgment unto who? the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So Jesus is going to be the judge of all lost. They may blaspheme that name today, but they're going to stand before him one day, and he's going to judge them, but he longs to be their Savior. Notice in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. The Bible says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have what? No pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked what? Turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So we have the challenge, every one of us. I appreciate those songs that Brother Ethan started out with. The first two songs were about the name of God, the name. And I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit orchestrated that, because that's the emphasis here. Hallowed be thy name. He's not hallowed in this world amongst people. So that's a task for us this week. How can we help people to see that God is to be revered? His name is to be revered. Notice in Philippians chapter 2. Well, does your employer forbid swearing? Probably not. Okay, well, then he can't stop you from telling people, God bless you. The Lord bless you. If he's going to allow God's name to be used in the vulgar, blasphemous sense, he cannot stop you from blessing people in God's name. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be what? Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as what? Lights in the world. So we're living there, a crooked and perverse nation, and we need to shine as light. So the world really doesn't know what it's like to live a Christian life. They got this in their minds, they got God as this cruel taskmaster that all he knows how to say is, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That's in their mind. So many people feel that way. Christians can't do anything. That's their mindset. They really don't know what it's like to live a Christian life. Notice in Isaiah 26, the Christian life is not like that. I do not feel oppressed in the least. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26:3. They have the total wrong impression. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, to an unsaved person, sometimes they say to you as a Christian, is that all you can think about is God? Is that all you can talk about is God? They think you're brainwashed, when in fact they're the ones that are brainwashed. We're thinking about eternity. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The peace that passes all understanding. Notice in Matthew 11. So, living the Christian life gives peace. Living the Christian life gives rest. Matthew 11:28. Living the Christian life gives rest. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what?
Give you rest.
You know, this world is a rat race. This world is a jail cell of stress. You know, I want it now. I want this and I want it now. That's the way the world is. Listen. Jesus is coming to me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. You know what? When we learn of him, we find out that he says, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many co-workers do you know of that if you are working with them on a particular day, you know that they're going to take the brunt of the load? Versus how many co-workers do you know, if you're sent out or if you have to work on a project with some, do you already know that you are going to be the one that carries the brunt of the load, does the most of the work, whatever type of work it is? Because you know that they're not going to put their all into it. Which do you have to work with? Well, you know what? It's a joy to go to work with Jesus. It's a joy to get in the yoke with him, verse 29, because verse 30, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He always carries the bulk of the load, always, when we look to him. So that's the Christian life. That is the Christian life. Being in the yoke with Jesus and watching him do the miraculous. So in Matthew 6:9, once again, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, praying is not acting like a spoiled child, demanding things from God. That is not prayer. Notice in 1 John chapter 1, when we come before God in prayer, confessing our sin, when we come to him in reverence, reverencing his name, and confessing our own sinfulness, we find that cleansing and that peace. 1 John 1:5. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is what?
Light,
and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son, what? Cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you wrong someone, there will be times when you say, okay, I need to apologize to that person. But there will be times with people that you already know they're not going to forgive you. You're going to have to do it with a right heart, but there will be people that you know when you apologize, they're going to read you the riot act. They are not going to say, I do forgive you. They're not going to say, thank you for apologizing, but I already forgave you. There will be people like that, and then there will be people you know. When you say, I'm sorry, you know the riot act is going to be given to you. There, verse 9, they are not faithful to forgive you. And you know it, but you still have to do what's right anyway. So when we come before God's presence, we realize our own sinfulness. Notice in Isaiah 6, when we come, before God's presence, truly, his name is hallowed, and we realize just what sinners we are. In Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, what? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of what?
Unclean lips.
And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He immediately realized, I am a man of unclean lips. That's the world in which we live. A world of unclean lips. A world that blasphemes God's name. So, when we come to prayer, we must personally know God as our Father, because we are not born saved. We're born lost, and we need to receive Jesus Christ that God might be our Father. And then we must fear and revere God. Matthew 6:9, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that's a task for us this week. Let's, as we go out there, let's show them what a hallowed name of God sounds like. Let's tell them, God bless you. Let's tell them, the Lord bless you. Let's use God's name in the sense that God wants to bless people. He wants to save them. And let's help them to see that side of the picture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us as we come to prayer before you. Truly, your name is hallowed. But Father, in this world, your name continually, every day, is blasphemed. And Father, we wonder how many people are out there who really think of you only as someone mean and powerful. They only think of you as a pit bull, only as trouble and judgment, as if you enjoy tearing into people. But we know that's not what you enjoy. You tell us you have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Father, I pray if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, help them to realize that you are the loving God and that you loved us so much you sent your Son to die in our place, born of a miraculous virgin birth, so that he would have no sin nature like us, and then living a perfect life and then dying on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, buried and rising again from the grave, proving that his pure and righteous blood was sufficient to wash away all our sins. Father, I pray that you would help us, excuse me, as Christians. Lord, we want your name to be known in the sense of you want people to be saved. You do want to bless people. Your goodness leadeth them to repentance, you say. So, Father, help us. Help us to show them the hallowed side of your name. The side of your name on which there's peace. The side of your name in which there's saving grace. The side of your name which makes life worthwhile, not only as we live here, but in eternity. Help us, Father, to lead them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.